Now it's time to look through the window of baseball, as we do each weekend with Bruce Jenkins of the Chronicle, brought to us by Truett & White, the professional builder's choice, and Marvin Windows and Doors. Bruce, happy Sunday to you. How are you?
Good, Marty. How are you doing?
Very, very well. And, you know, this WBC thing, they were buzzing in the clubhouse about it this morning. And I think Gordon Beckham summed it up perfectly for me. And I'll tell Josh and Raf we should get that one cut. As he said, that's baseball.
Oh, yeah, well, that's that's baseball in the Latin American countries. And it
How about
getting,
it?
Any more exciting than that? I mean, Nelson Cruz hit a home run last night off Andrew Miller that he called the biggest home run of his life. And this is a guy who's homered in the World Series. The atmosphere in Miami last night for the U.S. Dominican was so priceless, so wonderful, so magnetic. I mean, that's just one of the great viewing experiences you could possibly have any time of the baseball season. It was just a great game. And, you know, today, Manny Machado is putting on such a show right now. It's just mind-blowing. He's drilling the ball. He's making fantastic plays. You know, the players are spilling out of the dugout after every great play. I love it. I just think it's great.
Boy, it's good. Why don't you give us an update on the score, if you have it? I haven't seen it this morning.
They were ahead of Colombia 3-1 the last
3-1,
I saw.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, it's also funny about this. Miami, and look, I grew up in Miami, you know, and I've always talked about, you know, the football town and the old Miami Marlins of the International League. It's always been that way. But to see the enthusiasm last night and the tickets being scalped for $1,000, the biggest crowd ever in that stadium's history, it shows you that, you know, baseball can survive in Miami if you do it correctly. And I mean by marketing and, of course, getting the enthusiasm. But there are people who will come and watch a baseball game, and we saw it last night. I think this is more of an indictment of Jeffrey Loria and the way he's handled the team, which it sounds like he's going to sell the team, then become the ambassador to France. I think that's the latest. Can you believe that? Well, of course, everything in the world is nuts today anyway.
I think it was the ambassador of Chad.
Right, but, the guy got in for basically nothing and is going to sell it for $1.6 billion. So, but doesn't it tell you something about Miami sports? And maybe Miami's a better baseball town than we think.
Well, there's no question. And there's no question that a lot of fans down there have actively and publicly, you know, rebelled against Loria by not going to the games. They're fed up with the way he runs the team. And, you know, it's just too bad. I mean, it's a really exciting team with Stanton and Yelich, and God help us, Jose Fernandez when he was with us. You know, they built pretty good teams in spite of Loria, but the fans there, they were not happy with them. They've got their standards, you know. And, boy, were they met with when the Dominicans came in and playing a good U.S. team. I totally agree. I remember going to Miami for Baltimore Orioles spring training way back in the 1980s. And, boy, you talk about a great atmosphere there in sort of the little Cuban part of town there. It's just a real vibrant city with an awful lot going on. And it's just I'd love to see new ownership come in, do it right, and bring those people back.
I agree with you because the Latin influence is unbelievable. It's a very international city, and they love baseball, and we see it in the WBC. Look at Venezuela. Look at the Puerto Rican team. Look at the Dominican team and the Colombian team, the Mexican team. I mean, everyone lives in Miami. So why shouldn't they tap into that?
I think they should play the whole damn thing in Miami, the WBC. I mean, you know, San Diego would be great, and L.A. They've got big Hispanic populations there. It'll be good, but I don't know if it's going to match Miami. I really doubt it.
Well, I don't know if you got to see. I woke up this morning and saw the end of the Netherlands game with Japan. Did you happen to see any of that, Bruce?
I have it on tape. I haven't gotten around it yet, but I did see where they started with runners at first and second.
Yeah.
If you do that with Japan, you know, all those guys, most of those guys are technicians. They're great bunters. So, you know, boom, you get the bunt down. That kind of ends the game almost, and it's moments later.
That's exactly what happened. First and second, they got the bunt down, and then a blue hit, and they had the two runs, and
won
it 8-6. And what Bruce and I are talking about, when you get to the 11th inning of international ball, to save the pitching staff on that level, it's first and second, nobody out, and the last two outs basically get on base, and now you, wherever you are in the order, you go at it. And Japan put two runs on the board, and the Netherlands team put two on base and couldn't get anybody in, or maybe they got one in, I forget, but Japan then ended up winning the game.
Yeah, it's pretty strange. That's a little too contrary to me. I mean, you know, who are these guys? Where did they come from? Did they come from another planet? And all of a sudden, there's guys on first and second. You know, how do you account for them?
Yeah.
In the box score, I mean, the stat guys are going crazy. John Smoltz today on the Puerto Rico, Dominican telecast said that he enjoyed it. But I guess if you're in the park and you're a little bit weary and you want the game to end, you know, that's one thing. But it seems a little too much for me.
Well, it's just another level of baseball. I mean, you know,
yeah.
It's like miniature golf. You get to the hole,
right.
Now you got to hit it through the clown's legs and come out the ear, and hopefully
yeah.
you can putt. You know,
yeah.
that's just the rule that they make. And, you know, the funny thing is, Bruce, in baseball, and I've said this about, you know, the five-game series versus seven-game series, it's their party. And those are the rules of their party. That's the way they do it. And they can do it any way they want. And, you know, the fans have a say in it. But basically, they set it up the way they want to do it, and that's the way this international thing works. And Rob Manfred's trying to tap into it, but there's so much resistance in this country to the way the game has been played. I don't think he could pull it off. I just don't think he can make that happen.
No, I don't think so. You know, they do a lot of things right. I love having minimal replay reviews in the first two rounds. It's only on home run balls. That moves the game along a lot faster. You get your controversy, but, you know, you move on. You don't have these 2-3 minute, 4 minute delays.
Yeah.
And it, when they get to the championship round, it's the same rules as the big leagues, but the crew chief initiates the replay, which to me is huge. I mean, forget the challenges. Forget the replay room and,
right.
you know,
right.
every team has its Sean Dunstan back there. They get to watch a replay before they decide if they want to see a replay. I mean, that's completely kind. And then the umpires have the headsets on. It's just an unbelievable Dark Ages kind of situation.
Oh, so, you're right. All right.
Yeah.
Bruce joins us yesterday. And, again, I wish you were here to have been here yesterday to see Michael Morse yesterday, Bruce.
I'd love to have been there.
And you know the ballpark. The first one he hits out into left field, which is, you know, over that Valley Ho sign, sort of left center. And no question it was going. The next one, and he was on earlier, I don't know if you got to hear his cut, but the next one, he goes down and gets a pitch, and he hits it over the batter's eye, 430 feet away, to dead center field, and he said, it was funny, it's a great cut, and maybe the guys can play it for you before we end the show. He says he went down and got a low pitch, and the pitcher thought he was going to catch the ball. And it went out. It was like a Frank Howard shot. Remember how Frank Howard, the shortstop, would jump, and then it would end up in the upper deck.
Yeah, Dick, Richie Allen. Yeah, Boshi said it looked like a three wood, you know, leaving the two iron.
So it brought up a good question on the postgame show, and we had a great time. Maybe we'll do some more of it today. And, you know, the longest home runs you've ever seen. And McCovey, boy, came up quite a bit. McGuire in Seattle, quite a bit. Bonds as well. Luke Easter was mentioned yesterday. How about you? Longest home runs maybe that you remember?
Well, I'm trying to think. I don't think I've been on hand. You know, I saw so many games at Dodger Stadium, but I missed it the two times that Willie Stargell put it out of the stadium, which is unbelievable. Who am I thinking of? Andres Galarraga hit a home run at AT&T.
Right.
It looked like it was going to hit the glove, and didn't, but cleared the whole bleachers, which is a monumental shot in that park in that weather. I remember when Barry Bonds was a rookie, I was covering the team in 1986. He hit a home run in Pittsburgh. It sounded like a rifle shot going off, and it hit the facing of the upper deck, but I swear to God, it was going to the deeper reaches of Pennsylvania.
Mm.
And I'm thinking, you know, nobody knew a lot about Barry Bonds then, but he was just kind of a skinny prospect, you know, a great, great prospect. But, you know, I didn't know about his power, and it's like, holy, I mean, that was ridiculous. And I did see a couple of Frank Howard's monumental shots for the Dodgers growing up there. And, of course, he hit a big one in the World Series in Koufax's game four against the Yanks. Didn't he hit the home run that decided that one, I think? But yeah, a lot of great memories. Canseco, you know, the ball Canseco hit in Toronto.
That was brought up. Yes,
that was like outer space. That was completely ridiculous.
Yeah, I can see that one going. McGuire hit one off of Randy Johnson.
Was
Brad Mangin, the great photographer for SI. You know, Brad, he tweeted, and yes, I think he took a picture of it and tweeted it into us of that one. So, you know, as I said on the show yesterday, you know, 1920, you know, the world was changing. Baseball changed with it. And people didn't want to see four singles to score a run. Mm-hmm. They wanted to see one swing of the bat. And that ball going over the fence and Babe Ruth running around the bases. And that's when the home run craze started. They changed the ball. And that's America wanted instant gratification and the excitement of the home run. And quite honestly, Pete Rose said it. And, you know, the home run hitters drive Cadillacs and all that kind of stuff. But it's still the moment, that's that moment that you watch the ball soar out of the park. It's something you just don't forget.
Yeah, and it's been the main reason, among many, that I'd love to see Morse make the Giants. I mean, he's such a good guy.
Yeah.
You talk about a great clubhouse guy, and like May said, you got to be able to play, too. You can't just be a great clubhouse guy. But this guy, if he has anything left, geez, I'd love to see him on the team. I mean, can you imagine having him and Mac Williamson on the bench for late in the game? You could talk about back-to-back 500-foot pinch-hit homers, you know,
that's
or Jared Parker.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. And, you know, Moore said it, Bruce. He said he's pretty well locked in. And what I thought yesterday, in my own lay opinion, I thought his swings were really good. I mean, quick, fast swings and powerful swings. And as he says, he's got nothing to lose. He's just having fun. And they always say have fun in baseball. Well, he seems to be having fun.
Yeah, that must have been big time fun watching him yesterday. Just watching him up at the plate. It's like you say, the guy who has the chance to hit the ball a mile, you don't turn away from that, you know. And even if he strikes out, it's kind of dramatic, and you know, oh my God, you know, it's just that's one of the great things about the game.
Well, we see Tyler Beattie today on the hill. We had his dad on. His dad popped in here. He did the pop in. And Pop did the pop-in from the Seinfeld show. So, it was great having him on. He grew up in Boston, obviously, the dad, and a big Red Sox fan. But Tyler Beattie, Bruce, and again, if you were here, we would have fun with him. Matt Moore starts it today, but Beattie, six innings, a couple of hits, no runs, and he's done everything they've asked of him down here. And so it's going to be interesting, again, the Giants give you six or seven innings of major leaguers, and he gets the second call today.
Yeah, I do wish that was there. I wish it was on television. You know, he's one of the top one or two prospects in the system, and you know, I think, frankly, a lot of fans are not that thrilled about the Matt Cain and Ty Block competition. You know, they'd like to see. I mean, Block deserves a chance, but Cain, you know, it's very possible that we've seen the best of him, and let's get some new blood in there. And Beattie's looking like that going to be that guy. Maybe as soon as next year. Who knows? Maybe sooner, but. They really like him. He was great in college. Saw a lot of him in the World Series, and you know, hope for the best for him.
Well, Cueto had him, you know, got hit a little bit in the first inning. Then he picked somebody off, and you know, Bruce, about Cueto, every move this guy makes on the baseball field, there's a reason for everything he does. The shimmy, mm-hmm. the throw to first. I don't care mm-hmm. what it is. He's really very incredible to me, and I never understood that about him until watching him work. And we got to see him yesterday. Then after that, Matt Cain came in, who just can't locate. He cannot locate his pitches, and that's he just gets hit. He just gets hit.
Yeah. Period. Yeah, Cueto's amazing. I remember watching him walk through the locker room one time. If you've never seen him, you go, who the hell? How'd that guy get in here?
I know.
Looks kind of overweight, and looks like he's 48 years old. And then he goes out in the mound, and all of a sudden he'll pick a guy off in an instant.
Yeah.
He'll make a great play, or he'll get a bunt down or slap a base hit, you know, let alone getting one big out after another. And, of course, his heart's as big as the planet itself. I mean, this story about his dad, and he's bringing his dad to the games, and he's going to bring his dad to the Bay Area for the entire season. And Johnny and his brother are going to take care of him. He's never seen Johnny pitch in the big leagues. I mean, big, big heart there. What a great acquisition by the Giants.
Yes, it is. Maybe one of the best they've ever made.
And,
you know, of course, Bonds, you know, come bring him back is unsurpassed. But this one's not too far away. for an impact on the team. Really pretty good. His brother was here yesterday, and you knew it because he had the same hairstyle.
I think his name is Bienvenido.
Man, same hairstyle. Everything was exactly the same. It was really funny. And the dad was here yesterday, too, who was giving advice to Johnny on how to pitch yesterday. So that's spring training,
priceless.
Bruce. This is
priceless.
You know, it is. It's priceless. It really is. It's been a lot of fun. What's on your agenda today?
Well, I'm not moving around too well. I'm kind of frozen to the TV, but thank goodness. I mean, you got I'm all over the WBC. I'm taping everything. I'm catching up on some games, watching them live. The U.S. has a big game today. CBS Selection Sunday, who's in the NCAA tournament. So good day around the set. That's kind of my life these days, but it's great. I'm looking forward to a lot of good things going on today. If Beatty were on television, to be perfect.
Yeah, you're really well. You'd almost now. Of course, we have some cameras, but it's sort of the in-house stuff, maybe MLB highlight stuff. Maybe that's the only way to see it. But I'm looking forward to Matt Moore today. You know, Bruce, and we'll leave it with this one. You know, he's sort of a wild card for me. You don't know what could happen. Matt Moore could win 20 games, or you know, he could come out and have a great season. You know,
no question. And you know, I'm sure a lot of fans, it's kind of water under the bridge right now. But that game against the Cubs, you know, he looked like he was ready to finish that off and send the Giants, you know, on their way. And it didn't happen. But, you know, he was just tremendous that night against the best team in the game. Unbelievable pressure. That just said a lot. You know, it's the end of the season. You know, the arm's maybe not what it was 3 months prior, but that was very telling. He's a very good professional pitcher. And, yeah, you know, with that team, he could win 20. I think that's another
good.
There's some real mainstays in that rotation, which is great.
All right. Hey, have a great afternoon, and we'll talk to you next week.
Okay, Marty. Look forward to it. Thanks.
All right. That is the great Bruce Jenkins of the San Francisco Chronicle. All right.